Welcome to the Exposé Podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Molly.
And we're just a couple of goofy gals here to tell you about topics and get down to the real nitty-gritty of it all.
We are here to help you navigate through the confusing ins and outs of hot topics and get down to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and listen to our next topic.
Thanks for listening to the Exposé.
Hello. Hello. How is everyone on this? Well, for us, it's Halloween Eve, I guess.
Halloween's Eve. Halloween's Eve.
Yes. Well, yeah. All Hallows Eve.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. I think that there is a lot of spiritual.
There's a lot of things that are going to happen on Halloween.
Yeah. Well, it's a full moon, and that hasn't happened in a while. And it's also a blue moon because it's the second full moon in October.
Yes.
So that's kind of a big deal in the zodiac world. Mm-hmm. So what is your zodiac sign, Rachel?
I'm a Virgo.
Virgo. Okay. That's what
just barely. I think I'm closer to a Leo. I mean, I'm a Virgo, but it's very close to being a Leo.
Oh, so you're on the cusp. That's what my aunt calls it. She's into the zodiacs. You're on the cusp.
Yeah.
I just found a website that had a tarot card reading for your horoscope or your zodiac signs. So for Virgo, your card that they pulled was the Nine of Pentacles. So basically it tells you that now is the time to enjoy the fruits of your labor and the payoff of all the tangible hard work you've put into a project or endeavor. You've earned this opportunity to indulge. So I can think of one thing that you've been putting a lot of hard work into lately.
Me too. I guess that means I should drink a ton this weekend. No, relax, I guess.
Yeah, it says you should enjoy yourself with a spa or opulent meal.
Okay.
You are going to a party, so.
I'll definitely eat. I mean.
Yes. Eat lots of food.
And what's your zodiac sign?
Capricorn.
And what's it say about you?
It says, mine is the Four of Swords, and that brings recovery and rest after experiencing struggles, loss, or heartbreak. Probably just mostly stressed about work things right now, so I think I just need to take off a week of work, maybe. And just not do anything, sit on the couch. Right. I don't know.
That's fine.
But yeah. So you're going to party and I'm going to take naps all weekend. That's settled.
Sounds good.
All right. So yeah, that kind of warms our listeners up maybe a little bit for our topic of the night, which is tarot cards. We both kind of, I don't know, like the idea of, a little spiritual guidance every now and then, I think. So yeah, tell us where tarot cards began.
Okay, well, first I will preface this. I will begin to tell you that, contrary to popular belief, the cards do not just tell you a fortune. One does not have to be psychic to give a tarot card reading. Mm-hmm. So the cards are really meant to provide an insight into the innermost truths of your higher self, which I think is probably the most interesting of tarot cards, because it's not like you're going into this, I don't know, like a palm reader. I'm sure there's some things to that even too.
Yeah.
But with this, at least it's like they're basically telling you things you already know, but you need to reflect on that and dig deeper.
Yeah, very much.
So the origins, from what I had found, was that the tarot card is unknown, but we do know the documented references of tarot card used back to the 14th century Europe. The tarot has been used as an oracle in the basic form that we know today since the beginning of the 17th century. Mm-hmm. So if you want to elaborate on that.
The Islamic traders and, I guess, business people of the late 1300s, 14th century, were the ones who kind of brought over cards to Europe. And this includes modern playing cards and tarot cards. They kind of were born from the same thing. So they're called the Islamic Mamluk cards. And they had four suits. They were cups, swords, coins, and polo sticks. And this is kind of where our suits began too. Like our modern cards have the hearts, diamonds, clubs, and spades. Tarot cards have suits as well. So it's kind of like they're the same type of thing branched off into different uses, I guess you could say. The Islamic cards were very highly decorated with like gold leafing and that kind of thing. And I think that's kind of the same way with early tarot cards. The word tarot is actually derived from tarocchi, which is an Italian word that reminds me of the word gnocchi, which is the little potato pastas. but it means foolishness. So they were kind of cards that were used kind of to play games and like as far as maybe storytelling with the pictures on them and that kind of thing, not something that was meant to be taken super seriously. The first tarot cards were hand-drawn, hand-painted, very really artistic endeavors that were made for people of the upper class. Oftentimes, noble families would have custom sets made for them that pictured prominent figures of their family as the, like the king or the queen or the trump cards and that kind of thing. And then eventually that evolved into more like figures from mythology, Roman mythology, the church, and allegorical things like archangels being pictured and that kind of thing. And then eventually they kind of formed into two different sets, which were the suits and then these fancy cards that were illustrated with different kind of symbolic pictures and figures on them. And like you said, in the late 16th and early 17th century, they began to kind of be used for simple divination, just kind of like yes or no questions, or maybe just trying to kind of get some symbolic meaning out of them. But it wasn't until 1781 when a French Freemason named Antoine Court de Gebelin, it's my best French pronunciation, he decided to publish a complete analysis of tarot and claimed that it was derived from this ancient knowledge, ancient esoteric and hermetic secrets of the Egyptian priests. And this is something that wasn't a thing before he published this book. So history kind of dictates that this was his fun take on things and not necessarily fact, because there's really no historic basis for this at all. Most tarot card historians, if that's a thing, trace the history back to Italy and not to Egypt. So, but he did claim that the Roman church was trying to hide this ancient knowledge, and it was just kind of a really big deal to the public. They loved it. They were really into occultism at this time, and they just really jumped on this bandwagon. And that kind of made the tarot card and the divination and like spiritual side of tarot cards versus them being used for playing games and that kind of thing, the focus changed into being some type of use for occultism. A little while later, a contemporary Frenchman, Jean-Baptiste Alliot, he released the first tarot card deck designed specifically for divination. And this was based on kind of the first guy's take on it. It had a lot of Egyptian and like Kabbalistic, like from the Kabbalah, and a lot of those types of symbols in them. And it did include a 78 card deck, which is the most common kind of deck that's used modern time. So this was kind of the start of that. And it was just a really big deal in like the Victorian times. People were really into occultism. They would have a dinner party, you know, and after they got done eating, they would clear the table and then have a seance. Or maybe there'd be somebody in the corner who's like looking at your tea leaves and trying to read that. They were just really into that kind of thing at this time. So they really bought into this whole like ancient Egyptian secret spiritual type of thing that these guys were saying, even though it most likely isn't true at all. Then that kind of happened through the Victorian times, and the next big development that happened was a British occultist named Arthur Waite. He was a member of the Order of the Golden Dawn, and if you want to know more about them, go back a few episodes to our Order of the Golden Dawn episode that I did with Will and learn about all of their weird beliefs. I shouldn't say weird, their unique beliefs.
Right.
but anyway, he was, like I said, a British occultist. And he was also, this is also the same order that Aleister Crowley who is, if you're into occultism at all, he's a very big name. He kind of came up with, it wasn't Satanism, but a lot of people consider him like a Satanist. But anyway, this Arthur Waite developed what is known, pretty much the most prominent deck of tarot cards. I actually have a deck of these tarot cards. I don't know if you can see this, Rachel, but this is the traditional tarot cards that you think of, like, when you think of tarot cards.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm. So they were illustrated by artist Pamela Smith, so woman power back in 1909. Mm-hmm. She did all of these illustrations based on a 14th century or 15th century deck called the Sola Busca tarot, and it was the earliest example of a 78 card tarot deck, so that's probably one of the reasons why they chose to base their art on that. And it just has a lot of symbolism that kind of looks like people in robes, Roman or Egyptian people, a lot of columns, a lot of different, like the Egyptian Ankh is a symbol that's a common to a lot of these things. So that is the most popular by far tarot card deck that I see people online using. Whenever I like read explanations for decks on a website, they usually are going off of the artwork of the Rider-Waite deck.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavily influenced by the Kabbalah. And then I mentioned Aleister Crowley. He actually did do kind of like a overhaul of the Rider-Waite deck. I think it was like about 30 years later. And he calls his the Thoth Tarot, and it kind of is based on his like religion that he formed in the 30s and 40s. That's another popular deck, but not nearly as popular as the Rider-Waite deck.
So
that kind of brings us up to present. Modern decks typically have two different parts, the minor arcana and the major arcana. So the minor arcana has the suits, four suits. There are swords, wands, coins, and cups. The wands sometimes are referred to as staves, but we don't use that word anymore, so I think they just call them wands. And the coins sometimes are called pentacles, which is like the star symbol. So you might see those in different types of decks. There's 10 numbers, so 1 through 10 or ace through 10. And then like in a typical card deck, we have a jack, king, and queen. The tarot card deck has a jack, knight, king, and queen. So there's one extra card in each of the suits. And then the major arcana has 22 cards. These are known as trump cards. They're basically standalone cards, such as the fool, or like the emperor, empress, death, the moon, the world, like just kind of symbolic cards. And these ones, usually if you're doing a reading and you get one of these cards, you can kind of assign that the reading is strong or the meaning is strong, that kind of thing, because they have, they carry a little bit more weight than the minor arcana. So
yes, I read that the major arcana, it's to reflect on life lessons and themes that are currently being experienced at this time. Okay. And the major arcana card will often set the scene for the entire tarot reading with the other cards relating back to the core.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And I dabble in tarot cards, I guess you could say. Like, I have five different decks. I have the one that I showed you, the Rider-Waite deck. That's the traditional one. I have this other one. It's called the Prisma Visions Tarot. And I have never figured out how to really use this because the symbols on here don't make sense to me. They're kind of, it's really pretty, but when I look at it, it just looks like a watercolor painting that doesn't really make sense to me. So I'll have to try that harder.
Like, do most decks come with like a guide on how to read?
This one, I will say that I got this from China. It did not come with a deck, but I think I could go online and like download it if I wanted to, or explanation paper.
Okay.
This is a cool deck that I think is kind of funny. It's Cat Tarot. And so each of the cards is, it's really based on the Rider-Waite deck. Most of these decks are. And each of the cards is like a cat doing something. I don't know. Yes. I know like the, I think, oh, here's Death. The Death card is a vacuum cleaner. I forget. There was one with a dog. I forget what the dog was, but yeah, it's just kind of a cute take. And they still have a lot of the symbolism of the original cards too. So that's kind of cool. I just got this deck right here and I really like it. I just haven't really learned how to interpret it yet. And it is the 5-cent tarot.
Okay.
And I got this off Kickstarter, but they're so really pretty cards, like based on Victorian ephemera. And it has like a cool gold edging. But they're just like really symbolic. And another cool thing about this deck, so if you're in the market for a deck of cards, I can say I recommend them because they tell you some of the interpretations of the card on there. So you don't have, like, there's words on there. So you don't have to just come up with it. And they also have it upside down. So like if you choose to, you can read a card upright or upside down in different ways. So these have that listed on there, which is nice. And the ones that I chose to do your reading in are the first deck that I got. Okay. And they are these cute little animal cards. It's called the Affirmations Tarot. And like all the cards have like, I don't know, little animals on them doing different things.
Okay.
And that came with a booklet. So I know probably the most, the best in, of this one to do interpretations of. So yeah, honestly, modern tarot cards come in every shape and size. If you're a Star Wars fan, I'm sure you can find Star Wars tarot out there. I'm sure you can find Lord of the Rings. You can probably find Pokemon tarot. They're just like pretty much any tarot cards you want are probably out there.
Yeah, I can believe that. So the other cards in the deck, we talked about the 22 major arcana. What about the 56 minor arcana?
Yeah, those are going to be like, they all have their own meaning. So like I mentioned, there's four different suits and each suit kind of pertains to a different area of life. So for example, the pentacles or coins, that usually refers to a financial situation or your work, career, that kind of thing. Swords refers to taking action and making decisions and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wands are kind of like inspiration, creativity. And then cups are emotion, intuition, and relationships. And each number within them kind of, there's different symbolism on the cards. So for example, let's just pull one out here. Here's the 6 of Pentacles. And you can see there's a guy on it. He's kind of like giving food to some beggars. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's a lot more symbolism than just that, but you can kind of surmise that this might have something to do with charity or like sharing of wealth. He's also holding a scale, which probably means it has to do something with judgment. So they each have something different. Maybe they're not as elaborately figured as like the Empress or something like that, but they do have their own meanings individually.
Yeah. So the kind of things that I found from the minor arcana was that they reflect the trials and tribulations that we experience on a daily basis.
Okay.
Even though they are called minor, it doesn't mean that these cards won't have significant impact on you. They will show you what's happening in your daily life and how it's affecting you. These practical cards represent the interactions, experiences, thoughts, and emotions you encounter as you go about your day-to-day life. So,
true.
So it's kind of interesting. I'm like, as I'm learning along with, I get like, I'm way beginner, like way beginner. So I'm interested to see what a reading will say about me.
Yes. And I think the interesting thing about readings, honestly, it really is going to depend on not only how the person reading the cards interprets it, but also how you interpret it as getting your reading done. Like, it's really more, like you said in the beginning, like it's about self-reflection and like taking this information and kind of like thinking about it. And maybe that's going to open the door to you realizing what you need to do, or you realizing, oh, maybe I should consider this further or something, rather than telling you what to do. It's more encouraging you to meditate on something.
I read that it's like holding up a mirror to yourself so you can access your subconscious mind. So deep. All right. Should we just like get into it then?
We are going to do a reading. So, Rachel, you told me earlier that you wanted to do basically, and preface this by saying that I am by no means a professional tarot card reader. I am very much at the beginner level. And so if my interpretations are a little off and you are an experienced card reader, I apologize. But I do think really that it's going to vary with each person. So you shouldn't like feel intimidated if you're just beginning, because maybe your interpretations are just different than somebody else's, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. And that's kind of a cool thing about tarot. So Rachel, you picked context, where to focus, and outcome. So we did a 3-card spread. So your first card.
Okay.
Shuffle. Okay. Your first card was the 6 of Pentacles. And Pentacles kind of have to do with wealth and that kind of thing. So the 6, I actually pulled that card out and showed you. It was the one with the guy giving away some stuff. So basically this card has 2 different ways that it could mean. So it's kind of up to you to choose which one you think fits you. It could be that you have come to a place in your life where you're able to share your wealth in abundance. You are generally considering yourself successful, and you are able to offer either financial assistance or charitable donations and that kind of thing to the people around you, whether it's your time, energy, support. It doesn't have to be financial, but whatever you're rich in right now. So basically it's giving your time or wisdom and getting fulfillment out of that.
Okay.
Now, alternately, if you feel maybe that you have been on the receiving end of other people's generosity, this is a time where you feel like maybe you are able to get back on your feet and start to become self-sufficient on your own, and maybe move towards being in a position to where you will be the one who is able to help and give back to those around you. So I don't know if that has any significance to your life right now, but that's kind of the way the card is talking about encouraging yourself, or you encouraging others towards self-sufficiency. It does say, just kind of most cards have a little bit of a caveat. It does say to be mindful that you are not either yourself growing submissive or dependent on charity, or allowing others to do so. If you are the one who's giving out charity, you want to basically focus on helping somebody in a short-term way that can help them find a sustainable action. So don't become dependent, or let someone become dependent on you.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. Your next card was the Queen of Swords.
Okay.
So Swords is a suit that's based on action, and the Queen is definitely a very strong figure. She's got the feminine power. She's also got a lot of mental clarity and intellectual power that comes from the suit of Swords, as well as, like I said, she has maturity and receptiveness that comes with the feminine power of being the Queen in that suit.
Okay.
So it basically is saying that you have the ability to use your intellect and judgment to be open to input from others and kind of like sort through that to find the heart of the matter or the truth. Basically, you're able to sort through all of the bull crap that other people may be telling you and get to what you feel is the important matters. And that helps you understand yourself and your sense of environment and others, people around you. Now, this was the last one was your context card. This is where to focus. So taking that into consideration, I would say that maybe you want to focus on what you're hearing and kind of getting clarity out of all of the noise that's coming into your life possibly right now.
Okay.
And knowing that you are very well equipped to figure out and find the truth out of the opinions of all the noise around you.
Okay.
So it says you're a quick thinker and perceptive. It does say that, like I said, all these cards have a caveat. You may be kind of viewed, it says people may call you names because of your bluntness or your ability to kind of cut through and make a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't worry about that, because in the end, it's only for the good of yourself or those around you that you're doing so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. And then your last card, and this was your outcome, and it is the Fool. And that sounds like a bad thing, but it's really not a bad thing. The Fool, it's not so much as like a stupid person as much as a person who is ready for anything and willing to do anything, kind of try anything. Generally, this card depicts somebody that's standing at the edge of a cliff and he looks like he's about to walk off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like telling you that, and since this is your outcome card, maybe you need to take a dive and just try something new. Try something you've been wanting to try, but thinking that you shouldn't. You need to commit, follow your heart, and take a leap of faith, even if you've been telling yourself that you shouldn't trust those feelings.
Okay.
A new journey, sense of excitement, embracing the unknown, whatever it is. You're ready. The time is now. Don't worry if you don't feel prepared, because there's a lot of potential and opportunity for you going forward.
All right.
So,
Interesting.
Yeah, and it just says that if you're worrying about self-doubt or dread, just kind of try to meditate on the spirit of the Fool, who is somebody who's daring and carefree and free-spirited, and maybe that will help you kind of, I guess, push yourself in a certain direction one way or the other.
All right.
I don't know. Do you think that kind of fits anything having to do with what you have going on? What do you think of that reading?
I feel like I can connect the dots a little bit here and there, but nothing totally making me want to make a life change, I guess.
Maybe it's something that down the road, like a month from now, you're going to be like, holy shit,
this is
what it was talking about.
Yes, you never know. Like last week when I had that moment click in my brain about what the psychic told me about the microphone.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Who knows? It could be a year from now. Or
yeah,
tomorrow.
It could be. It could be.
Okay, make sure your mouth is close to the mic because you are getting recorded.
I'm being recorded? Okay.
Yes. So talk
with me. Hi, Molly.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Jesse.
The show.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to Madame Molly's Tarot Parlor. So, let's see. You said you wanted to do what I think, what I feel, and what I do for your three cards.
Yep.
So, I have three cards here for you. The first one is the Seven of Swords. So, this card, or the suit of swords, is a suit that's kind of based on action and that kind of thing. So this is going to maybe be more of like a decision-based card.
Yeah.
Now, this one's kind of, I don't want to say it's bad news, but it's a little bit something that maybe you want to think about, because this is a card that indicates maybe some betrayal or deception or trickery, whether it's you are getting away with something by sneaking around or somebody is getting away with sneaking around on you. And this is what you think, right? This is not maybe what is actually happening. This is just maybe something that you're feeling. And this doesn't have to do necessarily with like a relationship. It could be with work. It could be with Graham. It could be Graham sneaking food off your plate. Maybe Molly has found your stash of chips or something. I don't know. But on a more positive note, though, basically the message of this card is saying that you need to be strategic in what you do and realize that you can't do everything at once. You should direct your focus on things that will move you closer to your goals and kind of be focused, because this deception or whatever is happening around you shouldn't be able to knock you off of what your goals are.
Okay. Sounds good.
So you will get through it. For example, you need to decide what's important. If you're asked to travel for work, but it means missing a child's birthday, do what you need to do. Like, don't worry about upsetting your boss or whatever. So just kind of make sure that you have your priorities in line.
Okay.
Your second card was the Queen of Pentacles. And Pentacles is also sometimes called the suit of coins. So it kind of has to do with material or finances and that kind of thing. And the Queen of Pentacles is a very nurturing figure. It's at home. It could be like a, and this could be you or someone else. It doesn't have to be necessarily you, but there's a figure in your life that is maintaining a clean and inviting home. Somebody who is able to make, you know, financial contributions to the home, but also like emotional contributions and just a really nurturing overall figure. And this is what you feel. Okay. This is what you feel card.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I recall. I say that's fitting.
Yeah.
And this says that, you know, family and domestic responsibilities are having a healthy balance right now with work and that kind of thing. I don't know if you feel that way. Maybe that's something that you're aiming towards feeling, whether or not you feel that way right now, but it looks like that's something that's definitely within scope of what you can achieve. It also represents like security and prosperity. So maybe you're feeling a little bit more financial security lately, or a little bit more secure in your family or that kind of thing. So
that is Christmas bonus the other day.
That's true.
Well, what?
It's very true.
The Queen approves. Your last card, and this was the What I Do card, I believe, was the Moon. So this was one of those major arcana cards. And the Moon is something that represents kind of your fears and delusions. This is talking about maybe an emotion or a painful memory that is maybe resurfacing, or a fear that you're projecting that's resurfacing lately.
Yeah.
That maybe has been deep down in your subconscious, maybe it still is and has yet to appear, but it could be something that is causing a little bit of anxiety or something like that. Just make sure that if you're making decisions at this time, that you are making sure that you have all of the information and not just kind of acting on maybe an anxiety that you don't understand, because a lot of those things are not going to be the full story. And so you need to, and I think this kind of pairs with the card about being focused. I think the first card, the Seven, because it's saying that you need to be focused and get your priorities in line. And this is kind of saying the same thing. So basically, don't let some type of anxiety or fear knock you off of your goals and what you want to do.
Yeah.
Just be focused, I guess.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Gosh, I should do this more often.
Accurate?
I thought it was pretty good. Not bad.
Nice. Maybe have a future in the tarot card business.
A little side hustle or something.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of nice because, like, each time you do it, it's not necessarily like you could do it tomorrow and get totally different cards, but they could still pertain to like
to life,
make you think about something that's going on right now and another viewpoint maybe. So
it makes you really, really think, that's for sure, about your life, which is always good to reflect.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it.
So yeah.
And it's not telling you some, like, I don't know, because I know last time we talked to Rachel how, like, sometimes they tell you something and so you, like, make it happen. Like, with your fortune teller or something, like, you're going to meet your soulmate in the next month or whatever, and then you, like, try to make that happen. It's more, like, introspective and kind of focusing on how you're feeling, I guess.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I've always wanted.
Thank you for coming on. And
all right. Bye.
Back to it.
I think your reading for him was fairly accurate, though.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess I would encourage any listeners that are interested in tarot cards. I mean, whether it's divination and the occult or just kind of wanting something that might be able to guide you through some of the tough questions that we come across in this life and help yourself make decisions or just think about things, I would say go and get a tarot card deck. There's a myth that you shouldn't buy your own tarot card deck. It should be given to you. Oh. And I think that is a silly myth because if you feel, I mean, if somebody gives you a tarot card deck, awesome, because then you didn't have to pay for it. But, but I think that the most important thing is a connection with the cards. And like I was kind of saying, like there's some decks that I have that I just don't get. I just look at it and I don't get it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to kind of like take a look at the cards. I don't know if you can go online and see some of the cards like on a website or something first, or maybe even watch YouTube videos of people reviewing the cards and just kind of get a feel for what the symbolism is. Like, how easy is it to like look at the cards, or like, are they fun? Is it something you want to look at?
Right.
And then choose your cards based off that. Like, it doesn't have to, not everybody has to get the traditional Rider-Waite deck as their first deck and be like, I must learn all of the imagery in here. Sometimes I would say, even if you're a beginner, you could just look at the cards and kind of go off the feeling you're getting from the cards. You don't have to know all of the symbolism. So
yeah. Also, if you guys really want a reading, you can just DM us or
email
us, and maybe Molly can do a Zoom call with you.
Ooh, that would be kind of fun to do, like have like
a reading
listener.
Yeah,
like a listener reading or something, if you're brave enough to come on and see what your inner soul is wanting you to think.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. All right. Other than that, do we have anything else?
All right. Well, on that note, I think we are going to turn in for the night and meditate on the meaning of life.
Absolutely.
So, all right.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.